I want you to take your Bibles here, and I want you to, I want to talk to you tonight. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 25, and we may turn to some other scripture here tonight, but I want to help you tonight. Is that the mic right here, preacher? I'm going to go ahead and turn this one on here. Is it on? There you go. I'm going to, tonight, I think pretty much this is this is pretty much the core of your church, right, brother, right here. In other words, y'all are kind of like the Green Beret of this church. Can I have amen? And so I'm going to preach a message to help you tonight. Now, the title of my message tonight is How to Help in the Lord's Work. How to Help in the Lord's Work. Now, I don't know about y'all tonight, but the Lord needs, we need more helpers tonight in the church. We need more helpers tonight in the church. Folks, it's a shame, but I go all over the country. I go all over the country, you know, preaching everywhere. And when I go, I find out that I see pastors are always saying this, man, I wish I had more help. I wish I had more help. I hear that so many places that they're always saying, boy, I wish I had more help. I need more help in the church. You know, it's sad when we don't have enough help in the Lord's work today. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to help a good church like this. Can I have amen? I don't understand why you wouldn't want to help in a good church like this. But the reason why some of you might not be helping is because you might not know what you need to be doing. Can I have amen? It's not that you maybe you don't want to, it's just that you don't know what to do. Can I have amen? And you know, you're not sure what you need to be doing. Well, I'm going to give you some things tonight that I believe that is vital in a church, in watching a church grow and watch God bless a church. I believe the biggest key is to have plenty of helpers. Amen. Have plenty of helper. Look, this man can't do it by himself. Can I have amen? Hey, look, if you look at a football team, it takes more than one guy to win that game. It takes more than one guy to win the game. It takes everybody. Amen. It takes everybody helping, everybody doing their part, participating and all that for it to be a championship team. And so it's the same way tonight in the Lord's work. Why in the world do you think you got the gospel? You want me to tell you why? Because somebody helped. Amen. Somebody helped. In the book of Acts, we see a church that everybody was helping. Everybody was participating. Everybody was getting involved. Amen. Getting in the Lord's work tonight. And so tonight, I want to talk to you on how to help in the Lord's work. And before I give you the first verse here, I'm going to go ahead and give you the first point. The first point is this, is to have a willing heart. Have a willing heart. You know, look in Exodus chapter 25, and let's stand out of respect to the Word of God here. In Exodus chapter 25, and look in verse 1. And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Now, I don't know about you, but it must be really neat when the Lord speaks to you. Can I have amen? I don't know about you, but I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to me. He spoke to Joshua. He spoke to all these men of God and all these men. Hey, did you know God can speak to you? God can speak to you, and I hope He'll speak to you tonight. But look what the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and look in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Now let me stop right there just a minute. He said, now, Moses, what I want you to do is go tell the people to bring me an offering. Bring me an offering. But the verse didn't stop there. What kind of offering did he want? Look what he said in verse 2. Bring me an offering of every man that giveth it, what? Willingly, with his what? Heart. With his heart. Ye shall take my offering. You know what he's saying? Hey, you know what he's saying? The ones that come to bring it with their heart, that's the ones I want you to take. That's the ones I want you to take. You know what God wants? God wants your heart. Amen. God wants your heart tonight. You know what we need in our churches again tonight? Heart. Amen. I'm talking about heart. I'm talking about a willing heart and a heart to put your heart into it. Amen. And say, God, I'm willing, God, to give you my heart. God, here it is, God. Here I am. Here I am. And I want to talk to you tonight about that, on how to help in the Lord's work. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight, and I pray that you would help me tonight. And Lord, please give me strength and give me the power of God. I need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you fill me tonight from the top of my head, from the bottom to the bottom of my feet, God. Lord, there'll be distractions tonight. There'll be motorcycles going by. There'll be cars. There might be blowing horns. Might be yelling out the window. There'll be trains coming by. There'll be things trying to interrupt this service. But I pray that nobody would let things distract them. But they would stay focused with their heart tonight, Lord. And God, use me, Lord, to be a blessing to this dear church. And God, I come to help them. I didn't come to hurt them. Thank you for what you're going to do in your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus. Amen. Tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk to you tonight about this matter on how to help in the Lord's work. You see, the truth of the matter is, the first thing is you got to put your heart into it. You got to have a willing heart. You know what? God help us tonight. There's a lot of people. Did you know you can do something without having your heart in it? Can I have amen? I bet you some of you go to work without your heart in it. Can I have amen? Amen. I bet some of you get up and go to work in the mornings, your heart ain't in it. Can I have amen? And maybe by right it shouldn't be. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord's work on it, your heart ought to be in it. Your heart ought to be in it. Amen. It's a shame to do the Lord's work. Look, listen to me. I go all over the country, and I know some pastors don't have their heart in it. I mean, they're just doing it because they're out of, you know, responsibility or duty. And preacher, I'll be honest with you. Today, if when you lose your heart, you better shut her down and let somebody else come. Can I have amen? You need to let your heart be in this thing. Look, I'm telling you. You know why I do what I do? It ain't for the pay. Can I have amen? It ain't for the pay. You can say what you want to say. Buddy, you say, boy, I like to be evangelist, make all that money. Hey, nobody's stopping you, honey. Try it. Amen. Boy, there's times I go to meetings, preacher, and I've had preachers tell me, hey, we're going to send you a love offering. We're going to send it in the mail to you. I'm still waiting on it. Amen. Still waiting on it. Hey, there's times I've gone to meetings, it's cost me more to go to that meeting than what they gave me. It's a love offering. You say, why do you keep doing it, preacher? I'll tell you why I keep doing it. My heart's in it. Amen. My heart's in it. Amen. I do it because, first of all, I love my God. Amen. I love Him with all my heart. Amen. All my heart. But yet, the truth of the matter is you want to put your heart in this thing. You know, you know what's missing today? I'm talking about a willing heart. I'm talking about saying, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I don't care what the cost is. I don't care what the price is. I don't care what it is, God. I love you and I'll do it, God. I have a willing heart. You know what's missing in our generation today? A willing heart. A willing heart. Now, if everything's laid out for them, they got a willing heart. Can I have amen? If everything, if they get a call, listen, look at me. When I was in Bible college, when I used to write up to some of these colleges, you know what, these Bible colleges, brother, I'd go up there and I remember going up to some of these Bible Howells. I remember back in the '70s going to Howells Anderson College. And you'd walk in the parking lot, you saw nothing but old junker cars sitting there. Them folks bought them for $50, $100. They were broke as Job's turkey. Can I have amen? They were poor as Job's turkey. And they were going to Bible college trying to serve God, trying to serve God. And they had old junker cars. I mean, you crank them things, it'd blow a hole in those old layer like you've never seen. Amen? Can I have amen? And buddy, you talking about Matt? They were poor, they were broke, they came there on faith, but yet there was some kind of spirit about them. Amen. There was a pioneer spirit about those. Listen, I had $50 in my pocket when I went to Bible college. Had $50. Listen, I was called to preach. I never will forget when God called me to preach. I'll never forget. I was a Southern Baptist with hair down here, over my ears. I was Southern Baptist. I didn't even know what independent, I thought they were called independent fundamentalists. Amen. That's what I thought they were called. Amen. Baptists. But I was Southern Baptist. I didn't know what an independent Baptist was. And my grandma, but I was searching for the truth. Amen. I was searching. I pulled out of a Southern Baptist church because I had a preacher that didn't believe that all this was the Word of God. He didn't believe all the Bible. Let me tell you something, folks. I had a little grandma that believed this old book right here was the Word of God. And is the Word of God. And my grandma, she used to ride an old Skylark Buick from Facing, a little town, 600 people, to Wilmington, North Carolina. And brother, she'd sit there and she'd pound on that old Bible on her dad. She said, let me tell you something. There's going to be some knuckleheads one day that are going to come out of these universities and seminaries and cemeteries or whatever you want to call them and said they're going to come out and they're going to try to criticize and tell you that not all the King James Bible is the Word of God. She said, let me tell you something. She said, they're liars. Amen. They're liars. And buddy, when I found out that my pastor, Southern Baptist pastor, didn't believe that all the King James was the Word of God, buddy, I walked in and I said, you know what? You're a liar. And he said, why? I said, because my grandma said you are. Amen. Can I have amen? If I believe my grandma before I would you. Amen. Hey, but let me tell you something. And I was searching. And one day, my grandma started sending me the Sword of the Lord paper. She started sending me Sword of the Lord. And I saw on there where they were attacking Southern Baptists because of the way they were going to the left and liberalism thing. I said, you know what, buddy, that's exactly right. Nobody had to tell me that. God told me that. Amen. God showed me that. And so I went to a Sword of, listen to this. Listen to this. My mom and dad said, we're going on vacation. We're going on vacation to the Grand Ole Opry. That's where my mom and dad were going to Grand Ole Opry and everything. And now that was back there when Lester Flatt and Earl Scruton and Tubbs and all them were, amen. That's when it was okay, amen. It ain't country music today. Can I have amen? Amen. It ain't country music today. But I'm not saying it was still right back then too. But I'm just saying it's a lot. It sounds like a hymn back then compared to what it is now. Can I have amen? So my mom and dad said, we're going to go to the Grand Ole Opry. And I said, Daddy, let me ask you a question. I saw they're having a Sword of the Lord conference in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Do you think I might could go to that? Do you think that's near Nashville? I didn't know where it's at. Daddy looked on map. Sure enough, Murfreesboro's right there beside Nashville. And I said, okay. I said, Daddy, do you think I could go to Sword of the Lord conference? Y'all drop me off. Y'all go to Grand Ole Opry. And they said, yeah. I said, that'd be fine. And so my dad dropped me off Grand Ole Opry. But anyway, my dad dropped me off at Sword of the Lord while they went to Grand Ole Opry. I'm not kidding. And I walked in. Brother, I had on blue jeans and a flannel shirt and casual. I had casual. I had hair down over my ears. I didn't know what those independent Baptists looked like. And I got out, And I saw all these guys dressed up, you know, these fundamental short hair, real short hair and ties and suits and things on. And here I am with long hair, flannel shirt, and blue jeans going to the Sovereign Lord conference. And I walked in, I said, these are the weirdest people I ever seen in my life. These are the weirdest people I ever seen in my life. But I went in and sit on the back row because I was so embarrassed, brother. I was so embarrassed. But I sit on the back row, and all of a sudden, men got up there and started thundering behind that pulpit. I'm talking about Lester Roloff was there. I'm talking about Jack Kyles, John L. Rice, and Lee Robertson, and some of this new generation don't know who I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you, these were men of God. Amen. These were men of God that stood and preached and unashamed. Amen. Unashamed and preached with power. Listen, back then, Jack Van Impe was there. That shows you how far he's gone. Amen. Jerry Falwell was there. I mean, all those men were there, and they used to be independent back. But those men got up and preached, and I'll never forget Curtis Hudson got up to preach. Dr. Curtis Hudson got up to preach, and he preached a message on God sorting a man. God sorting a man. Jeremiah there, he said, God needs a man to fill the gap. Fill the gap. And I was sitting on the back row, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. And I sit on the back row, and all of a sudden, I felt a burning coming into my heart, buddy. When Dr. Hudson said, God needs somebody, amen. God needs somebody to get into work and get big. He said, God's calling some of you to preach today. You need to be a preacher today. And I sit right there, and all of a sudden my heart set on fire. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on the back row, brother, and all of a sudden God called me to preach. Amen. God called me to preach, and a burning came in my heart. And I said, God, and I'll never forget when I sit on the back row there, that I begin to literally weep, brother. I mean, begin to weep because I knew who I was. I knew how inadequate I was. I knew that you don't understand. You don't understand. 2 weeks after I was born, 2 weeks after I was born, I had a pneumonia and almost died. I told you about my little grandma that dipped snuff. She was an old primitive Baptist, but she loved God, brother. She loved God. But my little grandma, they put me in an oxygen tent. And all night long, my grandma would go up there and hold my hand all night long and pray that God would spare my life. I did not know that 2 weeks before I was born, my mama laid night and rubbed her belly and prayed that God would call me to be a preacher. I didn't know that. And you say, why'd she rub her belly? Because if I was in your belly, you'd hurt too and rub it. Amen. But I was sick. I was sick and I almost died. And then from then on, each year, 2 and 3 and 4 times, I was sick with bronchial pneumonia. And they would throw me in the hospital. I'd be in the hospital sometimes a month at a time. And the doctors didn't know if I was going to live or die. The first grade, it was the same way. I missed a lot of school. The second grade, same way. Third grade, fourth grade. Finally, I missed so much school in the fourth grade, I had to repeat the fourth grade. And I was constantly sick again. And to the fifth grade, the sixth grade. And so finally, about the seventh, eighth grade, I outgrew it. And I didn't have any more of those problems anymore. But yet I had missed so much schooling. I struggled in my education. I struggled in school. And finally, the 11th grade, 11th, 12th grade, my high school came up, the public school came up with to help kids that struggle in school. And put them in a class with lesser education and tell them. And I'll never forget, brother, I'll never forget how kids, my friends, would come by and they would look at us and laugh and make fun and call us retarded. There's the retarded class. There's the retarded. And they'd make fun and laugh, and it embarrassed us so bad. And, you know, and then I went to college, and then I here I am here I am now. God's calling me to preach. God's calling me to preach. And I thought that my memory went all the way back through all that. And I said, God, I'm that boy. I'm that boy that struggled and failed English and failed these things and took it over and over and over trying to get through. And I'm the one that was in the kids made fun and called us retarded and stuff like that. And I said, God, you're calling me to preach. I remember reliving that and thinking all that on the back row of that big Coliseum that day. When I looked around and saw many people more qualified and more dressed right and look right and look more intelligent about things. And I said, God, you're calling me to preach, God, but Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer. And I remember the prayer that I prayed. I said, God, if you're calling me to preach, God, if you're calling me to preach, God, then there's one thing I ask you, God, that if you're going to call me to preach, God, Lord, I promise you I'm willing, God, I'm willing. But Lord, you'll have to tell me what to preach, God. As long as you'll tell me what to preach, God, I promise, God, I'll do what you want me to do. Here I am, God, and I'll never forget. I went down. He gave an invitation. Over 200 boys came down and surrendered to preach that day. They filled. I'll never forget, brother. They filled the whole choir loft full. Here I am, well-dressed guys, all of them, and I'm up there in a flannel shirt and blue jeans and long hair, and God called me to preach. God called me to preach. I'll never forget, after the service, Dr. Hudson gave us a couple books. One of them was Building and Battling. Building and Battling. And I walked up to Dr. Hudson. I said, Dr. Hudson, God called me to preach. He looked at me. He said, well, you need to go to Bible college. Folks, the only Bible college I knew was Wake Forest University. And that was a Southern Baptist college. And folks, that ain't a Bible college. Can I have amen? That's not a Bible college, amen. It was a Southern Baptist college, and that's the only one I knew. I didn't know anything about these other Bible colleges. I didn't know about Temple, Howell's, all none of them back then. I knew nothing. And I said, well, I don't know where to go. He said, I'm over at a small Bible college in Atlanta, Georgia. He said, you come down there, I'll get you in that college. I said, okay, I'm coming. Two weeks later, my mom gave me a packed lunch, put gas in my car. She sent me one way. Can I have amen? My mom sent me one way. She said, don't come back. Amen. And I had $50 in my pocket and my suitcase, buddy. And you know what? I went down the road, and God knows my heart. It was willing. Amen. It was willing, God. I don't care what the cost is. Little did I know that it was going to be thousands of dollars to go to that college. But I had $50 in my pocket. I had a packed lunch, and my heart was willing to serve God. Amen. Folks, we need a willing heart. Amen. We need a willing heart tonight. We need people to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, here I am, Lord. I'm willing to serve you with all my heart. God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I've been preaching now 42 years. God knows my heart. I'll do anything for God. Amen. I'll go anywhere God wants me to go tonight. Lord, you know my heart is willing. And what we need is that back in our churches again. God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Lord, I'll drive a bus. Lord, I'll teach a Sunday school class. Lord, I'll work in children's church. Lord, I'll even change them nasty diapers. Amen. Can I have amen? Lord, I have a willing heart. Say, Pastor, what do you want me to do? Amen. Here I am. I'm willing to serve. And God knows we need that tonight. We need a willing heart. I think about now, there's hardly a day that doesn't go by that I think about that I don't get calls from preachers. On the way here, there was two or three preachers that called me and said, Brother Brian, can you help me with a situation? I need wisdom on it. I said, wait a minute, I'm that boy from the retarded class. Can I have amen? Retarded class. And God will use anybody that has a willing heart. That has a willing heart. God's looking for your heart. And then let me say this. How can you help in the Lord's work? By the voice of prayer. by the voice of prayer. You say, Brother Brian, what can I do? Everybody can pray. Everybody can pray. You say, you remember Nehemiah? You remember Nehemiah before he went and built that wall? The Bible says the first chapter, Nehemiah, he's going to God in prayer. He's going to God in prayer. He had a prayer for his country. Can I have amen? He had a prayer for his nation. Hey, folks, you know what? Let me tell you some things you can pray for tonight. You can pray for your pastor. I said you can pray for your pastor. You say, what do I need to pray for? You need to pray for power and wisdom. Can I have amen? And you need to pray for protection. Folks, listen to me. I preached for a church last week that the pastor's been indicted. He sat right on the front row while I preached. The pastor's been indicted for something. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I really don't. But it just shows you how real the devil is. Can I have amen? It shows you how real the devil is. And that's the reason why you want to pray for your pastor. Amen? Pray for protection. Pray for power. Pray for wisdom on him. Hey, if any man lack of wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen? And you want to pray that God will give you pastor wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you got a young pastor who's far above his years. God has given wisdom about things. God's given wisdom. But you want to pray that God gives him more. Can I have amen? That God gives him more. And then let me say this. You need to pray for the people of the church. I say you need to pray for the people. How many of you have a... You know what? If I ask everybody in here, do you have a list of the people in the church? Do you have a list of the people? You know what you want to do? You want to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, can you give me a list of everybody in this church? You say, well, I can't pray for them, you know, all at one time. No, you don't have to. If you break it down each day, you know what I'm saying? You're going to end up praying for the whole church all week long. I did that with my people. I gave them all a list of all the people in the church and broke it down in numbers. You know what I'm saying? And prayed for those people. You know what brings a church together? Praying for each other. Praying for each other. And the more you pray for each other, listen, the more it's going to bring unity and it's going to bring revival. It's going to bring revival. Can I have amen? And so pray for the church. Pray for, get you a prayer list of everyone in the church and pray for them. Listen, don't you want somebody praying for you? Can I have amen? Don't you want somebody praying for you? Then get your prayer list and pray. Hey, how about the providers of the church? Folks, I don't know about you, but the more people you have, the more it costs. The more ministries you have, the more it costs. Can I have amen? The more missionaries you have, the more it costs. The more tracts you pass out, the more it costs. The more buses you run, the more it costs. Can I have amen? And you need to pray that God will listen. You need to pray for the providers of the church. Pray that God will provide for the church. Hey, you need to pray for the protection of the church. Amen. Folks, look at me. Look at me. Satan hates a soul winning, bus running, separated, old King James, old fashioned, preaching Baptist church. Can I have amen? Satan hates that kind of church. And buddy, we're living in a day. Hey, listen. We're not sure what bathroom we're supposed to use. Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me? Folks, let me tell you something. You say it's no big deal. Oh, yes, it is a big deal. And you women say, well, it ain't no big deal. Yeah, you're going to look over one day and see some hairy leg beside you in a stall. Can I have amen? And you ain't going to like it. Can I have amen? Folks, I'm telling you, we're living in a perverted, messed up generation. And don't you think they love the church? You think they love an old-fashioned, fundamental church that stands up and says, hey, buddy, that stuff's out of hell. Amen? That stuff's not as wicked, it's ungodly, and it's wicked. You think they're going to run in here and hug your neck? I know they ain't going to hug my neck. Amen? Hey, the truth of the matter is, and you think Satan likes it? You think the devil likes it? No, sir, buddy. And he's going to attack every way he can. Amen. And that's the reason why you need to pray for the protection of this church. You need to pray that God will protect this church here. You need to pray for power. Amen. You need to pray for the power of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When the power of God moves in a church, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, buddy, when you see God's power come down on a church and God moves, buddy, I'm telling you why. Buddy, I don't know about you, but I like it when God moves. My wife was telling me today that there's a church down there in, I think it's South Carolina, Burlington, South Carolina, somewhere down there in South Carolina. And they've been going now 9 weeks. 9 weeks in a meeting. 9 weeks a meeting's been going on. They have had hundreds and hundreds of people saved. They can't stop. It can't stop. It just keeping moving. It just keeps moving. God is broke loose and people be. Matter of fact, they're putting it in the newspapers down there now. The main news, liberal newspaper are announcing and on the front page of the paper that revival has broke out in their whole county and the whole area and things are happening. Buddy, somebody's praying. I said, somebody's praying. Amen. And folks, you say, well, that only happens down south in the Bible Belt. Oh, no, sir, really, buddy. The greatest revivals didn't happen in the Bible Belt. Amen. It's happening up north and everywhere. Amen. Hey, revivals can break out when the power of God moves. Amen. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. And folks, I'm begging you tonight that you need to pray for power. When's the last time you came over to this church and said, oh, God, I'm talking about spent the night in prayer. I'm talking about walked around this building and laid hands on this building and asked God last night about late last night and early this morning. I got up and I went in there and laid on the floor of your church by that pulpit, preacher, and prayed around that pulpit and prayed around that altar and prayed that God would move in our church this week. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want the power of God. Amen. I want the power of God. And the only way it's going to happen is when you start praying. Amen. Hey, that church was a praying church. They were daily praying. They were daily praying and walking with God. I dare say that many people today in our churches, listen to me, that today many people didn't even say hello to God. I bet they got up this morning and didn't say good morning, Lord. Hello or hi, God. Hi. I bet you that many just rushed out the door, slept late, rushed out the door, grabbed the youngins and came in and sang the hymns and no prayer in our churches tonight. And I'm telling you what, we'll never see God. We'll never see the moving of God until God's people begin to pray. Amen. And pray for power. Oh my goodness. I've seen God do so much through prayer. Through prayer. I've gone into churches, folks, listen to me. I've gone into churches that are so cold, they're so dead, they're like a morgue. They're like a morgue. And buddy, I'm telling you, I've gone in there, no amens, no holy grunts or nothing. Can I have amen? And I mean, I go in there and I say, oh God, this place, nobody getting saved, nothing happening, nothing moving, people mad, people bitterness in people's heart. And I've gone into those churches and I've walked around those buildings and laid hands on that building and prayed and prayed and prayed even through the night, prayed that God would do something, that God's power would fall. And oh my goodness, I've seen God come down, amen, and break loose in those services and revival would break. Hey, if God can do it there, God can do it here, amen. And you've got to learn to pray, and say, God, I'm expecting you to do something. Can I have amen? We have not because we ask not. And Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so I believe tonight that we need to pray. We need to pray for the pastor. We need to pray for the people. We need to pray for the providence of the church. We need to pray for protection, power. You say, what can I do? First of all, have a willing heart. Second of all, have prayer, voice of prayer. And then number three, have a ready feet. A ready feet. You know, I love the story in Acts where old Philip was over there having revival, you know. And all of a sudden God told him, said, Philip, I want you to stop. I mean, they're having a big time revival over there. And he said, I want you to stop and I want you to go to the desert. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if that had been me, I'd been arguing with God a little bit. Can I have amen? I'd been arguing with God a little bit. I said, God, wait a minute now. We're having revival here. What are you trying to do? But I don't see that in the Bible. I saw where Philip stopped what he's doing and listened to God and immediately went to the desert. Why? Because God cares just as much about one as he does those people over there. He cares about everybody. Can I have amen? But he cared about that one that was in the desert reading the scripture. That old boy was in the desert reading the scripture. And by the way, that old boy ended up getting saved and baptized. Now, I don't know where they found the water, but they found some. Amen. The old boy got water, baptized, and God. What? Why? Because Philip had ready feet. Philip had ready feet. He just listened to God and took off. He just listened to God and took off. Hey, you know what? You need to have ready feet. You need to have ready. God, whatever you want to do, here I go. I'm going. You want me to do that? Okay, God, here I go. Amen. God, what? Hey, you know what? Some things you don't even have to pray about. Can I have amen? Some things you don't even have to pray about. If God said, do it, do it. Can I have amen? That's like my daddy. My daddy would say, son, I want you to get out there and mow that yard. Well, daddy, I'll pray about it. Folks, there's going to be some praying going on. Can I have amen? Why, he's beating me. Can I have amen? While my dad's beating me, I'm going to be praying, oh, God, don't let him kill me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. No, sir, that's a command. Can I have amen? That's command. Soul winning's a command. Amen. Hey, you don't have to pray about it. Can I have amen? You don't have to pray about it. Well, let me pray about it, preach. Preach said, hey, why don't you go soul winning with us? Well, let me pray about it. Is this ain't working? Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. I'll put it in park right there. Amen. Hey, you don't have to pray about tithing. Can I have amen? You don't have to pray about going to church. Can I have amen? You don't have to pray about praising the Lord. You don't have to pray about praying. Amen. You don't have to pray. It's all a command. Can I have amen? He said, pray without ceasing. Amen. He said, listen, he said, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. God, that's a command. Can I have amen? Folks, I'm telling you, you don't have to pray about it. All God wants you to do is have ready feet. Can I have amen? Yeah, you might have a spur on your feet and you can't go fast. Amen. Well, just hop along. Can I have amen? Just keep going for God. Amen. And have ready feet. Get busy for God. Just have busy God. Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm praying for my church. I'm praying for my pastor. I'm praying for protection. I'm praying for power. And okay, it's time to go soul winning. Here I go. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know what to do. You'll learn. Can I have amen? You just go soul winning. You'll learn how to do it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. You want me to tell you how I learned how to swim? You want me to tell you how I learned how to swim? My dad, me and my brother, my cousin and my brother on a bridge. On a bridge, there's a creek, river down there. And my daddy, I'm not kidding. Now, my dad had no compassion. Can I have amen? My dad had no compassion. Amen. But my dad, I'm not kidding, he reached over and cut a piece of bamboo pole by the creek there, like a fishing pole almost, what it looked like. Cut that thing so long. And we got up there. Now, my dad was not a fundamentalist. My dad was not a fundamentalist. He didn't have standards and stuff. So we went in our birthday suit when we went swimming. I'm not kidding. And we got up on the bridge. And my daddy said, "Okay, boys." He came to my brother first. And he said, no, he came to my cousin first. He said, "You boys, y'all been aggravating me about swimming, and I have to stop what I'm doing, take you swimming all the time." He said, "And by now you should learn how to swim." And he said, "I'm going to teach you how to swim." He said, "I'm going to count the three, and if you hadn't jumped off this bridge in that river, I'm going to bust you with this pole right across your blessed assurance." I'm serious. That was my daddy. He got to my cousin. He said, "One, two." And my cousin said, whoa, Mr. Uncle Brian. No, oh, maybe three. Wham! He busted him good. Hey, he learned how to swim. He came to my brother next. My brother's in the mailman. Well, he counted the three and he busted my brother. My brother went in that water. He got to me. My dad said, "One, two, buddy, I jumped." Amen. I jumped. My dad didn't raise an idiot. Amen. Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. We learn, we splash, we scratch down there, and we learn how to swim. It's the same way with soul winning. Can I have amen? You get out there and go soul winning, you'll learn how to do it. He that winneth souls is wise. Amen. And the more you win souls, the wiser you'll get about it. The wiser you'll get about how to deal with people, how to handle people, how to talk to people, you understand what I'm saying? It'll teach you. Just have going feet, ready feet. Move for God. Amen. Move out for God. And I'm telling you, God, this is how you'll help your church. And then let me say this, by having a heart of love. You say, "Brother Brian, what are you talking about?" Well, the same love Paul did for the saints at Philippi. Paul talked about how much he loved the saints of God and how much he loved. Folks, let me tell you something. You know what? There's three types of love you need to have. First of all, you need to have a love for God. You need to have a love for God. Number two, you need to have a love for God's people. You know, it's sad that we go in churches today and God's people don't love each other. Now, listen to me. If ever we aren't to love each other, we aren't to love each other today. Can I have amen? I mean, there's so much hatred out there and bitterness in this world. And it's sad when lost people come to church, see God's people can't get along with each other. That's sad. That's saying you need to love everybody. You need to love each other. You say, "Well, I don't like what they do." Nobody in here does the same. Can I have amen? By the way, look around. Just look around. Do you see anybody that looks just like you do? No. Thank God. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. You know what? Therefore, God didn't make everybody look the same. Can I have amen? So everybody's not the same. That's like when I pastored Yankees. Folks, we're different day and night. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I go up there and Yankees, and they pick on me about being Southern and everything else. They say, "Preacher, don't you know the war's over?" I said, "Who said the war's over?" Amen. Hey, brother, we cut up, picked with each other, everything. Hey, but you know what? Just because we have different ways, they don't do it the way I do it. Folks, it doesn't matter the way you do it. Can I have amen? It doesn't matter. Hey, what matters is that we're children, saved children of God, and on our way to heaven, and we're going to live together forever. Can I have amen? And you need to have a love for each other. You need to care about people. You need to care about each other. And by the way, when you pray for each other, it'll help you to care for each other. And then let me say this. You need to have a love for sinners going to hell. You need to have a love for sinners going to hell. You know what? If the church is full of people loving God and loving each other and loving sinners that are going to hell, you're going to have a good church. You're going to have a good church. Can I have amen? I'm talking about you give me a church that has a love for God and has a love for God's people and has a love for sinners that are going to hell. Listen, you need to love sinners tonight. No, I didn't say love sin. Can I have amen? I didn't say love sin. I said love sinners. Can I have amen? Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be right where they're at. You'd be right where they're at. But I'll tell you what, you need to look, you need to go where they are and love sinners tonight and give them the gospel and tell them how much God loves them. You know, I do this all the time. I do this all the time. I did it today. You know, we go to a restaurant and I say to the waitress or somebody, I say, look, is there anything I can pray with you about? You know what? These people out here, they need to know that you love them. Can I have amen? They need to see that the church, you know, they think, well, they're too good for me. They think you're too good for them. Can I have amen? But you know what they need to see? They just need to see you're down to earth and you care about them and you love them and all that. I was traveling, it's been about a month ago, I was traveling through and these people, we were at this store and there was this guy out there, he was just a bum of a guy, you know, just I'm telling you, he stunk, he was a mess, his life was in a mess. And so there were people coming out. I saw some kids come out and they were making fun of him and laughing at him and stuff like that. And so I walked over to the man. I walked over to the man and I said, sir, I just want you to know that I love you and God loves you. And I said, look, I said, I'm gonna go in here and I'm gonna get you something to eat. And tears began to well up in that man's eyes. He said, sir, thank you for doing that. He said, I'm so hungry. He said, I'm so hungry. I went in there and bought him some food. And I know you gotta be careful sometimes because some of them, if you give them money, they're gonna take advantage of it. But that guy was hungry. And I said, sir, I'm going to give you. And I went in and bought him a Subway sandwich. I bought him the biggest one I could get. I brought that thing out there. And I said, here, I want to give you this. And tears were in his eyes. He said, thank you so much. He said, I was so hungry. And I said, well, sir, you know, I just want you to know how much God loves you. He said, sir, and this is what he said to me. He said, you know what? He said, I need to know God loves me. And I said, well, he does. And I took the Bible there and I led that old boy to Jesus Christ right there. He got saved. He got saved. Now I brought him to church. I went by and picked him up on Sunday morning, brought to church, stunk my whole car up. I had to fumigate that thing. I brought him into church and people started sitting other places. Amen. I mean, he's my right. But you know what? That's okay. I walked that boy down the aisle and I gave him a bath. He got baptized. Amen. Amen. He was going to get baptized. I was going to make sure he'd get baptized. Amen. Because that boy smelled. But let me tell you something. You know what? We need to love sinners. Can I have amen? We need to love sinners. And tonight, and I'll tell you, you be a church that loves God, and you have a love for God's people, and you're loving sinners. I don't care if they're black, white, polka-dotted, or whatever. Can I have amen? Jesus died for the world, amen? And you go out there and you reach people, amen? Love people and help people, and I guarantee you it'll help the Lord's work. And then let me say this, number five, by having a tongue of kindness. Having a tongue of kindness. You know what? Listen to me. Did you know you don't always have to express what you think? Can I have amen? You know, well, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You better not, because that may be all you got left. Can I have amen? Amen. Folks, you know what? God's people need to be kind. Can I have amen? You don't have to be sarcastic. You don't have to be. You know what I tell Yankees? I say, you know what difference is between Yankees and Southern people? Yankees are rude. I said, you're rude. I said, y'all are rude. You're just rude. You just say what you think, blurt it out. You don't care what people think. I said, down south, they'll smile at you and shoot you at the same time. Amen. I said, you know, but you need to be kind. Can I have amen? That was kind. You remember how kind Paul was on that shipwreck when they got shipwrecked in the book of Acts? Did you remember how Paul treated them? He made sure they were taken care of before him. He made sure they were all safe before him. Amen. That's the way you want to put. Don't put yourself before others. Put others before yourself. Always be consolute to be kind to people. And then let me say this: you need to have an ear of deafness. What are you talking about? I'm talking about don't listen to criticism. Don't listen to criticism. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. People can be negative by nature sometimes. Can I have amen? But don't listen to criticism and all that, okay? Or gossip. If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. And if somebody's going to say something negative, just walk away from it. Just walk away from it. Just say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. Amen? And that's the way of Christian. I'm trying to tell you how to help the Lord's work. And then let me say, by having hands of laboring together, like they did in New Testament. Boy, they labored together. They labored together. Everybody worked together in the book of Acts, didn't they? Everybody was going together. And by the way, they were laboring together inside the church and outside the church. Everywhere they were going, they were laboring in prayer, they were laboring in soul winning, they were laboring in God's Word, the Bible, every day. They were reading the Bible, praying, walking with God, and spending time with God. I believe if you listen to what I preached on tonight, I believe with all my heart, this church will even double and triple attendance. I know that. If everybody will pull together, and everybody will pray together, and everybody will labor together. And the main thing is to have a willing heart. Have a willing heart. I guarantee you, God will bless you there. I think about in my lifetime, I think about all the things that I've done. I've gone and started churches. I've started a church myself down in Athens, Georgia. I started a church in Athens, Georgia one time. Living by faith, I went out and said, God, I didn't have the money. Matter of fact, all I had was a U-Haul trailer. A man helped me rent. And the couch stuck out the back of my station wagon. I'll never forget. We couldn't load everything up. All I had is my wife and four kids. We got everything in the station wagon, everything in that U-Haul trailer, and we just stuck kids in the holes in different places in there. I mean, that's all you can see is our kids' eyeballs looking out the window. I'm not kidding, brother. And we, by faith, we went and started a church. No money, no job, nowhere to live. We just, by faith, set out by faith because I told God, God told me what to do. And I said, God, I'm willing. Here's my heart. When I gave my life to the Lord, and I'm almost done. When I gave my life to the Lord, I gave my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want. My heart is willing to do whatever you want me to do. You see, I used to be a hippie. I ran away from home when I was 16 years old, and I slept on the streets of Miami, Florida. I used to be a hippie, but now I'm a happy. Amen. And now, but I was throwing my life away. But when I gave my life back to God, oh, happy day. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want. Lord, I was willing to go to the world. Now I'm willing to go for God. And I gave my life to God. Now listen to me. Listen. I came back after I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I told my mama, I was only like 17 years old then. I gave my life back to the Lord. I had already won. I started winning people to Christ at my school. They couldn't believe the change in my life. We had like 60 football. We had a big football team. We had like 60 guys on the team. Big football team. And 30, I think it was like 36 or 37 of those guys got saved. I led to Christ off our football team. Matter of fact, two of them are preachers today. I preach for both of them. Both of them. They're both preachers today. And but I gave my life to the Lord. And that summer, after I gave my life to the Lord, I told Mama, I said, Mama, I'm going to go back down to Faison, North Carolina, where we used to live. And I said, I'm going to go down to Faison, and I'm just going to go, and I'm going to start a youth rally, reaching young people. It was kind of like a youth Bible study thing. I said, I'm going to go down there and reach some teenagers down there in Faison. Wasn't about 600 people in the town, in the Faison, little tobacco farming growing town. And I said, Mama, I'm going to go down there. And I asked my brother, I said, Brother, would you go with me? Would you go with me down there? Because he was good in music. And I said, he could play the guitar and stuff. And I said, you can sing Christian songs and things with him. I said, and we're going to reach young people down there. I had a burden for him. My brother said, no, I'm not going down there. He said, we don't even know where you're going to meet. He said, we don't have any money. How in the world are we going to do this? I said, I don't know, but God knows my heart. I'll go. I'll go anywhere for God. Anywhere for God. Well, the last day, now listen to this, the last day that I was getting ready, I'm not kidding, Mama packed me a sack lunch just like she did Bible college. She gave me enough fuel, filled my tank up, enough to get me one way. Can I have amen? My mom was always trying to get me one way. Amen? Don't come back. And I said, Mama, I said, I'm going to go down, and I'm leaving. And, well, at the last moment, she made my brother go. Well, he was mad at me about that. He didn't want to go. But my mama made my brother go. Well, he got in a car, and we started down toward about 3.5-4 hours away, you know, down to Faison, down east of North Carolina. And we're driving along and got to Clinton, North Carolina. And all of a sudden, my car chugged a little bit. And I look down, and I'm on empty. Now, Faison was 16 miles. We were 16 miles from Faison when we got to Clinton. And my brother said, you don't have gas. He said, fuel. He said, you need to pull over at the fuel station and fill up. I said, Brother, I don't have money. He said, you don't have any money? I said, no, you got any money? He said, no, I don't have any money. He said, you mean you came all this way and you don't have money? I said, no, don't have it. And my brother, he got so upset. He said, well, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I said, guess we run out, we'll walk. We'll walk. He was so mad at me, brother. So mad at me. I'm not kidding. I just prayed. I said, God, get me to Faison. Get me to Faison. I said, Lord, I'm serving you, and you'll have to take care of me. I'm not kidding, brother. Every once in a while, I feel that car chug a little bit. But we rolled into Faison, North Carolina, and I'm not kidding. When I pulled up to Mr. Precise, Philip 66 station, he came. We literally rolled in there. We literally rolled up. I just rolled right up to the gas pump. My brother said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get gas. I'm going to get fuel. He said, you don't have any money. He said, what are you doing? And then he started chewing me out again. I said, brother, I said, just be quiet. Let's see what God will do. And he said, no, and he started, you know, griping and everything. Well, Mr. Forsyth came up there, and he took the gas pump handle, stuck it in, started filling it up. I had no money. He started filling up. He said, boys, it's good to see y'all again. He knew us, and he knew my daddy. My daddy and we were raised around there. And he said, what are y'all doing here? And I said, well, Mr. Forsyth, God told me to come here. I said, I've got a burden for the teenagers, the young people in this town, my hometown. And I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start a youth rally, and we're going to start having it on Saturday nights. We're going to have a youth rally, and we're going to reach young people and try to rescue their life and those that are, their life's in a mess. I'll never forget Mr. Forsyth. He looked at me. He said, boys, that is a great thing. Our young people need that. We've got a lot of young people messing their lives up. He said, let me just tell you something. He said, don't worry about this fuel. Don't worry about it. And don't worry about it rest of summer. I'm going to take care of it for you. To God be the glory. I looked at my brother and went, suck my tongue out at him. Amen. Suck my tongue out at him. Amen. And God provided. Amen. God provided. I'll never forget that. Then he said, where y'all going to meet at? I said, uh-oh. I said, I don't know, Mr. Forsyth. I said, we need a place to meet at. I said, we're just starting. He said, won't you call Mr. Glenn Jernigan? He said, Mr. Glenn Jernigan's head of the fire department there. He said, maybe he'll let you use the fire department. Mr. Jernigan happened to be at the fire department. I pulled around there, and there was Mr. Jernigan. I said, Mr. Jernigan, Mr. Forsyth told us to come around here, and I told him what I was doing and everything. He said, oh, that's a wonderful thing. He said, we normally charge $25 every time you use it. But he said, I tell you what, since it's something like that, he said, don't you worry about it. He said, it's taken care of. I looked at my brother and went, and I stuck my tongue out at him again. Amen. Then my brother said, where are you going? I said, I'm going down here to the county newspaper. He said, the county newspaper? I said, yeah, I'm going to see if I can get a front page ad right on the front page. He looked at me. He said, and he started griping again. He said, you can't do that. It costs too much money to put stuff like that in newspaper. I got out and let him gripe, amen. And I walked in the newspaper office there, and I told, there was a lady, I'll never forget, Miss Little was her name, Miss Little. She wasn't little, but her name was Little, amen. And she was sitting there. She was the editor of that newspaper. And I said, Miss Little, I said, listen, I said, we're having a youth rally, and we're going to have at the fire department, we're going to be reaching young people and teenagers all over the county and try to rescue their life. Oh, my. She, all of a sudden, she said, you're kidding me. I said, I want to put a big ad in the paper. She said, listen, she said, I've got a teenage boy that's in a mess. He's on drugs. His life, we have been doing everything to rescue him. And she said, oh, it would be awesome if I could get him there that night. She said, I think this is a wonderful thing you're doing. And she said, matter of fact, I'm going to put an ad, the whole front page ad on the front page. You wouldn't believe. My brother and I were sitting there grinning just like our folks just kill hogs. Amen. And we're smiling and grinning at right on the front page. Amen. She did a big advertisement that night. Listen, that night, by the way, Miss Little told us, she said, where y'all going to be staying at when you come here? I said, Miss Little, we don't have anywhere. She said, I've got an extra room that you and your brother can stay in, and we'll feed you the rest of summer. Don't you worry about it. I looked at my brother and went, again, amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, boy, God is good, amen. God is provide. God will provide, amen. And I sit there, and listen, the first service we had, that night, they pulled the fire trucks out, and 37 teenagers showed up that night. 37 teenagers showed up that night. Miss Little brought her station wagon. She brought her teenage boy in that station wagon that night with nine other teenagers packed in that station wagon. That night we had our youth rally. I preached that night. And that night, 23 teenagers got saved that night. 23 teenagers got saved. One of them was her teenager. Amen. God changed his life. And today, out of that group, there are five or six preachers now that have come out of that group that are preaching the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, you know what it took? A willing heart. Amen. A willing heart just to serve God tonight. Hey, that's what we need in the churches tonight. We need a willing heart tonight. Say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. And Lord, I'm leaning on you and I'm trusting you tonight. Why don't you decide tonight that you're going to be a help to the church? Can I have amen? Why don't you get in the ball game? Why don't you say, Lord, here's my heart tonight. Where's your heart? Where's your heart tonight? Amen. Is your heart in the work tonight? I beg you tonight. God said, Moses, tell them to bring the offering. But he said, only the ones that have a willing heart, those are the ones that I want. Amen. Hey, folks, tonight, don't you want to do what God wants? Don't you want to give what God wants? Well, God, all he's asking tonight, for you to give your heart tonight. Can I have amen? Oh, God knows my heart tonight. God knows my heart tonight. It doesn't get easier. The older you get, the harder it gets. Can I have amen? You young people, you don't understand, but you just wait. You just wait till you turn 40. Can I have amen? You wait till you pass that 40 mark and your body says, uh-uh. Your mind may say, uh-huh, but your body says, uh-uh. Can I have amen? And it gets harder, folks. I travel. I go hard. I knock doors. I win. You don't know how many preachers. You do not know how many preachers that tell me that I'm the only evangelist that they have that go soul winning. That go soul winning. Personal soul winning, brother. They said, Brother Brian, you don't only tell us how to do it. You show us how to do it. You go soul winning. You go win people for Christ. You know why? Because I was a soul winner before I was a preacher. Amen. That's my life. You know why? Because my heart. My heart's in it. My heart's in it. A willing heart. God knows my heart tonight. Folks, it's hard sometimes saying goodbye to my wife. You see, when you've lost a wife to death, listen to me, and God gives you another one, you don't want to say goodbye no more. You don't want to say goodbye. Preacher will hug, and I'm not going to tell you everything we do, but we hug and kiss and smooch. And hey, just because there's snow on the roof don't mean there's no fire in the furnace. Can I have amen? Amen. Hey, but I'm telling you, I never want to let her go. I never want to let her go. But I have to. You know why? Because my heart's willing. My heart's willing. My heart is here tonight. My heart's with you tonight. My heart wants to help you tonight. But I can't help you if you're not willing. I can't help you if you're not willing tonight. You know what? Some of you are just doing it because you got to do it. It shouldn't be that reason. You should do it because it's your heart. You love God. You love your church. You love your preacher. Amen. You love the people. You love just being here. And your heart's here because you want to make a sacrifice tonight. Oh my. Oh my. I never want to lose that. I never want to lose that willing heart. God, you know my heart tonight. I'll go. I'll be going to Mexico. I've been to Vietnam. I preached in Vietnam. I've gone on a plane and flown 29 hours on an airplane to go to Philippines and go to Japan or go to China. I preached in China. I preached in Singapore, Vietnam. I preached at an underground church where it was literally that it was packed. The little house was packed full of Christians. That the communists, if they knew that they were there, they'd probably kill them. I preached there. I preached in El Salvador. I've been to Guatemala. Been to India. I've preached in Africa. I've preached all over the world. Been to Haiti, Dominican Republic, Panama. I've preached in Mexico. I'll be going this year and preaching in Mexico to over 100 pastors. Training and teaching on soul winning and stirring them up about soul winning and stirring people about winning their country to Christ. Is everybody with me tonight? You say you get tired? Yes, I get tired. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you busy?" I said, "Well, I think I am, because the older I get, the slower I get, so everything seems busy." Can I have amen? But I think I am. You say, "Why are you telling us this, preacher?" Because God knows my heart tonight. God knows my heart. I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to do whatever you want. Where's your heart tonight? Where's your heart tonight? You know what? Some of you need to come to the altar tonight and bring a willing heart. I said, you need to come to this altar tonight and say, "God, I want my heart to be willing. I want my heart to be willing. Here I am, God. Here I am, God. Here I am. Here's my offering, my heart, my heart."